Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago River, the lakefront, and also Columbus Drive. And I can attest to you, Dave, that the first wave of runners has taken off, and indeed
they sure have.
It is just amazing watching it from up here.
Isn't it something?
As and turning out, going west on Grand over to heading over to State Street. Yeah, the numbers are just staggering watching that.
Nice to have a bird's eye view of this. But everybody is in place now. Things are totally underway. The first wave, second wave will be starting shortly, actually. So
it's an amazing view.
Yeah, second wave starts at 8, and then the final wave of runners at 8:35.
Very good. Keep us on track on everything that's going on with the race, Dave. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Washington, Brett Kavanaugh. He was confirmed to the Supreme Court on Saturday by one of the slimmest margins in American history, closest since 1881, locking in a solid conservative majority in the court and ending a rancorous battle that began as a debate over judicial ideology and concluded with a nation trying to come to terms over sexual misconduct. The vote was 50-48. Now, remember, the week basically began with President Trump using the Kavanaugh nomination to rev up his base looking towards the midterms. And really, that's been the same modus that he's been using. He used it yesterday in Topeka, Kansas. But at a rally in Mississippi, the president mocked Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and her allegations of sexual assault.
36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember. And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered. His wife is shattered. His daughters, who are beautiful, incredible young kids. They destroy people. They want to destroy people. These are really evil people.
Oh, speaking at a forum hosted by Atlantic Magazine, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham defended the president and said that Trump only said things that were factually true about Dr. Ford.
Whether you like it or not, I really don't care. Here's the point. I have seen what happened to these women in 1998 at King Ford. I don't like what the president said last night. I'm the first person to say, I want to hear from Dr. Ford. I thought she was handled respectfully. I thought Kavanaugh was treated like crap.
Now, Illinois' senior senator, Democrat Dick Durbin, opposed the Kavanaugh nomination and criticized Trump for mocking Dr. Ford.
I hope you'll reach back into your archives and find the opening statement in this conversation with the White House. It came from Kellyanne Conway, and it was about 3 weeks ago, and she said two things that I remember very clearly. First, she said, we are not going to ignore Dr. Ford. We are not going to insult Dr. Ford. Look at what happened last night. Tell me that that wasn't an insult to a woman who's trying to bring back her best, most vivid memories of one of the most horrible days in her life. And to mock her at a political rally as the president did last night is certainly beneath the dignity of the White House.
That's Illinois' senior senator, Dick Durbin. Well, we're going to switch gears and bring things home locally for a busy week in Illinois politics and Chicago government. Joining me on the phone is my good friend Hal Dardick, member of the investigative team over at the Chicago Tribune. Hal, thanks for joining me this morning.
Always my pleasure, Rick.
Well, I figure when it comes to the issues of property taxes and tax reassessment, you're kind of the go-to guy.
I appreciate that. I know a little something about that topic.
Well, and as we saw last week in the race for Illinois governor, there was a finding by Inspector General Patrick Blanchard had issued a confidential report that became public and first reported by the Sun-Times. But basically this report concluding that after all of this talk of toilets and Gold Coast mansions and toilets being ripped out and whatever, that the Inspector General determined that J.B. Pritzker improperly received $330,000 worth of tax refunds and tax breaks in what the Inspector General called a, quote, scheme to defraud, unquote. Now, Hal, you took a look at the report. I took a look at the report. That's pretty strong language, isn't it?
It is. Typically, an Inspector General will lay out the facts, and if they do suspect a crime occurred, they will say it. But he came to and refer it to proper authorities. But he came to a really strong conclusion, going so far as to cite state and federal statutes for perjury, for
mail fraud,
mail fraud and conspiracy. So, sort of laying out what might be viewed as a blueprint for a prosecutor to follow in bringing a case. So, yeah, it was very strong language.
And Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox's office says that their special investigative unit is reviewing the findings of this report.
Right, they are. And, of course, a bunch of, one that's sort of partisan, but a bunch of the state's Republican congressional contingent has asked the U.S. attorney to look in, and, you know, of course, the feds never tell us what they're doing, but it's possible that at least they're taking a look at it, too.
Now, one of the things, the Pritzker's tried to downplay this. He's agreed to repay the $330,000 in tax breaks and benefits, but he says, well, there really isn't anything new in this report, although it did contain, you know, affidavits from and emails regarding when toilets were taken out and remodeling being done. There was affidavits claiming that this mansion was uninhabitable, predating the 2015 toilet issue, going back to 2012.
Right. What the Pritzkers did was they sought a what's called a certificate of error. It's basically asking the assessor to reassess your property and do it retroactively for 3 years, so that it's 10% of its value, which gives you, of course, a huge tax break. In this case, it was $330,000. But as part of that, they submitted these affidavits. And the affidavits sort of implied that one of the primary reasons that there was uninhabitable, which is the sort of qualification for getting the certificate of error, is that the toilets weren't in the home. So that, of course, is misleading in the sense that there was an email that he also cited, and this is sort of central to the whole report, from the general contractor for the rehab of the Astor Street Mansion to the plumber. And what it says, and I just happened to know we were going to discuss this, so I pulled it out, and it's pretty short, but she is going to have the house reassessed as an uninhabitable structure. Now, there he's talking about M.K. Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker's wife. To do this, she would like to have us pull all toilets and cap all toilet lines in the house. Then after the reassessment, she would like us to put the first floor toilet back in and have this as the one functioning bathroom in the place. So basically, what if the general contractor is being accurate there, JB's wife said, you know, because we're going to have it reassessed, we want to pull the toilet to strengthen our case, which, of course, you know, goes beyond the other things that may have been wrong with the House, and greatly strengthens their attempt for a certificate of error. And then the two affidavits, which are identical, says the property has been vacant and uninhabitable since January 1st, 2012 to present, and this is, I think, in October of 15 that these affidavits were written. There are no functioning bathrooms or kitchen. The interior stairwells are unsound. So, although it doesn't state that those toilets were out since January 2012, it uses it as a justification for explaining why it was uninhabitable, so you could say that it strongly implies that. And then the stairwells, it was one of the banisters was braced, but the inspector general points out that when they removed the toilets, they used the stairwells to get the toilets out. And they carried them down the stairwells. And what's also interesting about those affidavits is that one is signed by M.K. Pritzker's brother, and another is signed by the personal assistant, her personal assistant, and another one is notarized by J.B.'s executive assistant. So all of that, despite what Mr. Pritzker said, is new information to the public.
We're speaking with Hal Dargett. Hal Dardick, my Tribune colleague at the Chicago Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick. We're talking about the controversy surrounding Democratic governor candidate J.B. Pritzker and property tax assessments that he received on a Gold Coast mansion adjoining the one he owns. And the Cook County Inspector General saying that those were improper and were part of a scheme to defraud taxpayers. And, you know, Hal, one of the big questions I've had in this is, you know, we've been in this race for governor, we've been talking toilets for a long time.
no doubt.
And, you know, Governor Rauner has run several ads about this, and one with a Pritzker lookalike, showing workmen hauling toilets out of a mansion, dubbing him the porcelain prince of tax avoidance. You know, there was the takeoff, the Pritzker Plumbing Company kind of thing. And part of me wonders that because, you know, you have the governor now today saying, this is as serious as a heartbeat, you know, this is a heart attack. This is a real serious issue. This is not a joking matter. And I have to wonder, after all the time that in those kind of lighthearted ads, are people really going to pay any attention to this?
Yeah, I think that that's a really valid question, because people don't read these stories as much as we like with, you know, super.
They read our stories. Come on, you know that.
Well, they read them, but they don't notice all of the nuance, and they start reading this story. And they say, well, we knew there was an issue with the toilets in the reassessment, and what exactly is new here? And they move on, and especially in a week that like we just had, and
right
when there was so much news in the world, whether it was the verdict in the Jason Van Dyke case locally or the Kavanaugh nomination nationally, it may just get lost in the noise, so to speak, and folks will just move on, and it won't register.
Our short attention span society. You obviously mentioned the Van Dyke conviction, and you've spent a lot of time over at City Hall. There's a lot of speculating that, you know, it's because of the whole issue of the Laquan McDonald shooting, murder, the video delay in the video being released, that that's why Mayor Emanuel didn't seek a third term. But I want to look prospectively. What's the real impact here for this city?
I do think that in the short term there was a sense of relief because there was a verdict that a lot of the activists that actually helped bring this case to the fore and used it as a symbol of decades-long endemic race problems, that justice had been done. And so the prosecutor, special prosecutor Mr. McMahon, said, well, there's a chance for the city to heal, but there's so much more to come. As a result of this, there is another trial coming up in the coming months of three other police officers who have been accused of helping to cover up the exact nature of this shooting. And I think you'll see a lot of people thinking, well, it's perhaps proper that Mr. Van Dyke was convicted in this case, given the evidence. But it's also important that police are held accountable for what even, you know, the mayor said was a code of silence for wrongdoing among the police department. And then you have the consent decree, which is in the works, which would hopefully change the way policing is conducted in this city. And address this decades-long problem that there have been so many attempts to fix over so many years, but it still persists.
And, of course, it's fodder for our ongoing mayoral campaign.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the primary issues. Of course, you've got Lori Lightfoot, the former police board
police oversight
chief,
right.
And she... She's in the race, one might argue, primarily because of this overall issue for Tony Preckwinkle, the county board president that's in the race now, justice or a reform of the justice system has been a huge issue. You got a former police chief who got fired over this, and Gary McCarthy, who's in the race. It will certainly continue to be fodder for the campaign, and one of the primary issues in addition to the city finance.
That's Hal Dardick. He's part of the great investigative team at the Chicago Tribune. Hal, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.